gift to us it is, and help us to use it as a guide for our lives. May you bless the reading as we open it and hear your words to us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than my life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
I think the psalms are like dessert. It's like this joyous feast that we get to enjoy. The shadow of your wings, I will find joy. Our gospel reading for today is Luke, chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. The healings at Simon's house. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about it. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately, she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any were who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him. And when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I got to think about this text for today. And there were two ways the sermon could go. And the first one started like this. So there's this man and his hunter. He goes on a safari with his wife and his mother-in-law. And they're out in the middle of the wilderness. And one morning they wake up and the mother-in-law has disappeared. And so his wife is very cranky. She gets her husband and they go looking for him. And eventually they find her sitting under this tree face to face with a lion. And so she turns to her husband and says, "Well, are she going to do something?" He says, "Well, the lion got himself into this mess. He can get himself out of it." There is a whole depth of mother-in-law humor. Some of it, from what I've found, seems to be coming from this place of very, very deep pain and anger. But I couldn't really do that faithfully, because I'm blessed with a wonderful mother-in-law who has graciously accepted me into the family and loves me for who I am. And I'm grateful that we have this great relationship. And I thank most of the people I know, the mothers-in-law that I know, and those who have mothers-in-law, have good relationships and seek to make them better. Obviously, we are all human, and we all make mistakes. But I have found who we as the church can be and what we can learn
from Simon's mother-in-law.
And I think that's going to be far more rewarding than trying to figure out exactly how excited Simon might have been since his mother-in-law was just healed. So Jesus has been at the synagogue in Capernaum. And he's had this man with a demon has stood up and started shouting. And so Jesus cast out the demon.
And then after this, he goes to Simon's house,
where Simon lives with his mother.
And we're told she has this fever. And so they
bring Jesus to her. And Jesus rebukes the fever. It's the same word that Jesus uses when he rebukes the demon in the previous passage. He rebukes the fever. And it, like we all should, it obeys Jesus and leaves. Immediately, she got up and began to serve them. I'm the kind of person, I would wall when I'm sick. I am miserable to be around. When I'm sick, it's all about how can I get healthy and I sleep and I complain and Rachel is gracious enough to put up with me. But I'm just miserable to be around. And so even if something like this happens, it's like, well, how can I recover? And this is all about me and poor. Woe is me. But Simon's mother-in-law gets up and immediately begins to serve them. So grateful is she that she has been healed. So ready to serve. That's the first thing she does when she gets up.
And so naturally, as it does, word begins to spread. As the sun was setting, all those who had any kind who were sick with various kinds of diseases, so pretty much everybody begins to seek out Jesus.
Now it's important that the sun was setting. Because when the sun sets, the Sabbath ends. And when the Sabbath is over, you are then allowed to carry the sick. If you do it on the Sabbath, it's considered work. And it's a violation of the Sabbath law. But because the sun has set, you can then carry your sick. So just picture this scene of these people carrying their loved ones of all ages to Jesus.
We read, he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out.
So this, from all across the town, these people are streaming to Simon's house to be healed. And then it says, at daybreak he departed. So he's working at this all night. And so he departs to a deserted place. But when you have something like this, you don't just let them go to a deserted place. No place is too deserted to hide if you're a miracle worker. So they seek him out, and they find him. And so we have this group of people still streaming to Jesus, this line of people being carried. And then we have this odd picture of Jesus walking away from him and leaving him. So many more have yet to be healed, still needed this attention. And they want to put Jesus in this box and put him on the shelf so when they're sick they can get him out and say, heal me. But they want to make sure that he doesn't leave. But Jesus says, I have to leave. So we have this image of Jesus walking away from these crowds of people. And I think it's an image that I am guilty of holding in my mind as well. Have there not been times when I thought that Jesus was leaving me when I am mourning or weeping?
weeping or grieving or sick. And I'm saying, why are you leaving, Jesus? Where are you? Come down and heal me. Come down and fix this. When I'm searching for hope, when I'm longing for good news, in that pit of despair, the valley of the shadow of death, it's easy to think that Jesus has just left us here. But the reality could not be farther from that. For the reality is that Jesus doesn't leave. But instead, he surrounds us with this incredible community of people at all different stages. Because think about what the village of Capernaum was like just after Jesus left. You had all these people who had been miraculously healed. You had these people who might have been lame for their entire life. And suddenly they can walk, they can jump, they can dance. You had the blind who could see. People possessed with demons were suddenly freed from that oppression. This village had been transformed by the healing power of Christ. And yet there were some who were still hurting, some were still sick, some were still possessed by. And I got to think, aren't we the same way? Are there not some among us who have felt the healing power of God in our lives, who have seen broken parts of our lives restored? Are there not some among us who have this great joy at the way that God has worked in their lives? We have a responsibility to immediately get up and serve. That's who we are called to be. Those of us who have seen the hand of God working, we're called to respond out of our gratitude. And we are called to carry those who need our strength. Those who cannot feel or see the hand of God moving in their lives. For there are those among us as well who are crying out for God to come down and heal, who are searching for God's presence in their lives, who are waiting for God to speak a voice into the midst of chaos and confusion. We are at all different points of the spectrum, each one of us, and yet all of us. And yet we are a community. Just as the people in Capernaum were a community, we too are a community. And those who are strong are called to carry those who are weak. Those who are weak are asked to throw themselves on the community and let us carry. Let us be strength for each other. For that is how Christ works using us. How often have the words or a card or an embrace from someone open your eyes to see the way that God is working on. God uses us. And it is such a blessing to see how God works among us and through us, for us. Christ doesn't leave us checking us off a list of people that he's worked amongst to go move on to the next community. Christ comes and proclaims the kingdom of God and then ensures that it is spread all corners of the earth. And so let those of us who have seen that work, out of our gratitude, immediately get up and serve one another. And those of us who are sick, who are in need of strength, and we have the courage to cast ourselves on the strength of others and let others carry us as we walk along this road. It is not easy. And at some points we will be filled with joy, and at some points we will be filled with grief, but we will walk it together as the people of God filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking to glorify God each and every moment of our life together. Let us pray.
Gracious and holy, you have sent your Son that we may know you. May we see your hand.